Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, that's one of the intelligent teachers in Wisconsin saying she's doing it for the children, and that if they lose this, they're not going to have weekends. The children won't have weekends either. They'll be child labor. In fact, if they have to give up any of their money and pay for their health care and their insurance for their pensions and insurance for health care, why, they won't have weekends. The children won't have weekends. The poor children won't know what to do with themselves. So do you know what's going on in Wisconsin, Milwaukee? I mean, it's amazing to me that the country is finally catching on to who Obama is, and how the unions, of course, and the people are against each other in this country right now. Once again, we're facing battles this country fought many, many years ago. The left-wing radicals in Wisconsin from the unions have mobbed the Capitol with rent-a-mobs. They've taken the children out of school and used them as fodder for their lies, because the teachers and the others, the state workers who are affected, don't want to pay what everybody else pays for their health insurance and towards their own pensions. I pay for my own pension. I pay for my own health care. Why shouldn't they? And now they're comparing the governor of Wisconsin, who simply wants to prevent his state from becoming like the United States of America, meaning bankrupt. They're comparing him to Adolf Hitler, with a little help from Jesse Jackson, of course. Now, I could ask you which side you're on, because I'd like to discuss this. Are you on the side of the teachers? Do you think that the teachers in Wisconsin and elsewhere should not pay any percentage of their income for their health insurance and for their pensions? You know, the average city teacher compensation tops $100,000. Did you know that? Did you hear that? How do you feel about the Democrats leaving the state and hiding in another state? How do you feel about a state where the Democrats, instead of coming to the plate and doing what they were elected to do, which is vote and lose, they disappear and leave the state? As far as I'm concerned, they should be thrown out of office. I believe they're in contempt of the state laws, and they should be fired, every one of them, and they should be forced to go into a special election. There should be no Democrats left in that state if they continue to act this way. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Obama backing the unions? How do you feel about learning today that the teachers in that area earn over $100,000? The average city teacher makes more than $100,000 a year. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the issue in general? How come the protests are now spreading to Ohio and Michigan? How come the unions are on the side of such absurdity? How come Jesse Jackson is coming in, rallying the protesters and using the children, saying it's a real Martin Luther King moment? It's an amazing story. The governor is simply trying to balance the budget. He's now ordered state troopers to bring the Democrat cowards to the Capitol. I hope they arrest them all, frankly. And the governor is saying we're not going to be bullied or intimidated. He even told President Obama to mind his own business and to do for the nation what he's trying to do for the state. Now, I want to play some of the sound for you because it's very interesting. I want you to listen to, again, clip one. Play clip one.
We're doing this for the kids. The unions are the people who brought us a weekend and an 8-hour work day. If we don't do this now, our children will not have a weekend, an 8-hour work day, or collective bargaining rights. This is for the kids.
This is for the kids. If she was my children's teacher, I'd seek to have her put into prison, this hysterical lunatic. Now, here's clip four.
What is this sign supposed to mean?
One of Hitler's first acts was to take over labor unions.
Okay,
so that people could not organize.
So you're saying Scott Walker, Governor
That's
Walker,
what he's
is
doing, is taking over
is
labor
Hitler?
Unions.
Okay, but I mean the little mustache, the Hitler mustache
like
on
Hitler.
Him.
So they're comparing Governor Walker with Hitler now. This is a teacher. Now you understand why your children are number 37th in the world in science and math. This is what's teaching your children. They're comparing a governor who's trying to balance the books with Adolf Hitler. Next, go to five.
This is no longer a one-sided class war. We need to tax the rich. They hoard all of our money. We give all our money, all our paychecks to the rich, to the corporations who exploit us in our work anyway. And they don't even want to pay their fair share of taxes. That's why we can't afford anything.
So they want to tax the rich because they hoard all of our money and they don't even want to pay their fair share of taxes. It's actually the rich who pay the majority of taxes in the United States of America. It's actually the rich who pay the schmuck salary. It's actually the rich who pay the taxes for the state to give this moron a living. But it gets even worse. Listen to clip six.
Our budget deficit is because we don't tax the rich. Meanwhile, productivity is
all right, turn it off. You get an idea. You know, we used to have a saying, and I'm a former teacher. Those who can do and those who can't teach. And it's a sad thing to say, but in most cases it's true. And I also learned when I was a young teacher from an older teacher who was very dedicated. He said, Michael, let me tell you something. You're going to learn in this field, in this profession, that there are two types of people. Either you're dedicated or you're demented. And he said, that's exactly the breakdown in the teachers, in the world of teachers. And I was a young teacher. I laughed at it. I didn't quite get it. He was right, because many of them were simply doing it and doing it and doing the same thing day in and day out. They were horrible teachers. They were not dedicated to the children. They were dedicated only to their pension, and they were demented. The children, of course, learned nothing from them. So here they are using the children in the schools, even though the average compensation tops $100,000 a year. It's not enough for them. They want to tax, and they don't want to work. What do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Let's go to Wisconsin. Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're in Wisconsin. What's your opinion?
I think they're using the children as pawns. They talk about getting an 8-hour work day. Well, they're cramming 9 months of work into a 12-month year. They have all kinds of benefits. They have a late start here in Wisconsin. You know, the teachers get allowed to prepare their...
Don't you think that there's something illegal about using children in a union-organized protest?
They're taking a sick day. I mean, they're pretending it's not a protest.
No, but wait a minute. How can they make children go to a protest march to give it a nice, kind face? Isn't that somehow violating child abuse laws?
Yeah, they're kind of coercing them to go. They're, you know, since the school is not open anyways, the kids are going because, well, it's their teachers and they like their teachers. And
I
teachers
see.
Are feeding them, you know, the propaganda.
But do the children actually know what they're doing? They don't know what they're doing.
No, a lot of them have no clue.
Well, Dave, you're in Wisconsin. Let's put this in a national context. You recently had an election because your budget was out of control. The state had become too much like a socialist nation. And so you put a Republican majority in power. Is that what happened?
Yep, he was elected by I forget the exact majority, but it was a pretty good majority. He didn't have any surprises. He told people what he was going to do if he got
so
in.
So in other words, the people said enough is enough with this deficit spending. We want fiscal conservatism. We're through with the welfare state. We're putting Republicans in power. And now the unions and the thugs called teachers who are hiding are saying, we don't care what the people say. We're going to use every tactic known to mankind to violate the will of the people. Isn't that really what it boils down to?
Yep, the unions don't want to lose their power. They're calling up businesses and threatening to boycott, seeing which way their opinion goes with business.
Is that why High Jackson was called in with the megaphones they bust him into?
Yep, to get the same old...
So he's going to be outside again, still with the megaphones, threatening boycotts. You know what I say? Boycott, baby, boycott. Go ahead. Those days are over. Suddenly it's not 1960. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. There's a line of people, if they fire these people like the air traffic
controllers. If I were the governor, I would stand up to the teachers and fire them and replace them with all the people who have been waiting for a teaching job. I would do the same with the park rangers. They all have it pretty good. They're on a gravy train. Say, okay, you are fired, and then just open the schools up and bring in all the people who've been on a waiting list. Bring in the temps who are not covered by the union. Give them full-time jobs and cut the other ones out completely. What would happen if that was done?
Well, if they had it on merit, if the unions were no longer in power, they'd have the merit of the teachers, and the bad ones would be out, and the good ones would teach.
Yeah, I think they're overplaying their hand. The bottom line here, Dave, is that the will of the people of Wisconsin is not being upheld by the unions and the teachers, as far as I can tell. And I'm a former teacher.
Yeah. I mean, we had a vote And the popular elected governor came in, and he's doing what he said he was going to do. And outside of Madison, outside the bubble of the liberal bubble, people, you know, they don't.
So Madison is the Berkeley of Wisconsin, correct? Filled with potheads and cranks and leftists of all kind.
State employees, university employees.
Right. State university employees, crackpots, cranks, potheads, miscreants of every breed live in Madison. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We heard the hysteric before. That's teaching our children. Now, not to be outdone by the hysterical teacher from Madison is Nancy Pelosi, who just came out saying that she stands in solidarity with the Wisconsin workers fighting for their rights, especially for all the students and young people leading the charge. Nancy Pelosi, the last I checked, is the wealthiest woman in Congress, but she's standing in solidarity with the Wisconsin workers fighting for their rights, especially for all the students and young people leading the charge. Suddenly it's Cairo. It's Cairo. I suppose soon we're going to hear that it's the greedy dairy farmers in Wisconsin hoarding the cheese. Maybe one of the hysterics can seem to, you know, get the cheese, break into the silos, steal, get the milk from the cows. And I wouldn't be surprised if by next week the unions don't say that they're going to organize the cows and sign them on for cow rights to make sure that they're not milked on weekends and during the summer. Chicago, Pat, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, my gosh, Michael. I was up in Wisconsin today talking to, doing some work up there, talking to the homeowner. They love this governor up there. And you know what? This guy needs to
Well, because they're taxed to death for these greedy state workers. The average person in that state has had enough with high taxes, regulations, so they threw out the Democrat socialist bums, and you could see what Stalinists they are. When they can't outright control it, they leave the state. This is something I would have expected from Uzbekistan, not from from Wisconsin. It's a tactic you'd expect out of Siberia.
So the Wisconsin people, I want this guy to run for governor down here in Illinois. This is the most corrupt, worst state you could possibly live in, and we need to get more of these people.
Why, you're saying Illinois is corrupt? Why, because it gave us Barack Obama, Blagojevich, Rahm Emanuel? Why would you say it's corrupt? These are some of the finest Americans in the history of this fair republic.
I know, and it's awesome that they all live in Illinois.
Yep, and it's amazing what great people come out of Illinois. Okay, so, I mean, I'm not going to do this for hours today, but, you know, it's a very big story because it's going to spread. Now, the governor himself has not been heard from yet. I want you to listen to clip 9.
I continue to work, and I'm calling on the members of the state Senate to show up and do the job that they're paid to do as well. They don't have to agree with everything we proposed, but they should, on behalf of the people who pay their salaries, show up to work.
All right, keep playing 11.
When it comes to the health care premium contribution, we're asking for just over 12.5%, which is half the national average. Half the national average. The workers I was at the other day at manufacturing companies all across the state point out that they'd love to have a deal like what we're proposing. We have a $3.6 billion deficit that we've inherited. Mm. Like nearly every other state across the country, we're broke in Wisconsin. We don't have more money to give. We don't have anything to negotiate with.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a matter of making reductions and making modest requests of our government employees, or looking at massive layoffs at a time when we don't need anybody else laid off.
So he's a fiscal politician, fiscally conservative politician, and he's hitting the stone wall of the welfare state. And he's saying that they're asking only for half the national average for health care contributions, and the teachers are screaming, no, we shouldn't pay it. To me, it sounds fair. And look, I want to tell you something. It's very easy to say, oh, you conservatives are always on the side of the rich. You never take the side of the poor. I'm a former teacher. I know what it's like to live on very little. I'm a former social worker. It was a long time ago, admittedly. And of course, if I had free health care and a free pension, I wouldn't want to pay a dime of it. Of course, I would like to continue to have 3 months off in the summer and teacher days and this day and that day and wind up teaching about 200 days a year. I would love it and still collect a nice, steady check. But The question is, where is the money going to come from? You can't blame it on defense. See, that was the. So now they're blaming the rich in Wisconsin. The rich meaning the dairy farmer, the businessman, the shopkeeper. Suddenly, anyone who makes an actual living and doesn't work for the state is the rich. To the state worker. Otherwise, they would blame it on the Pentagon. The last I checked, there was no Wisconsin Air Force. Although I'm sure, if we checked further, we find out that very soon we'll find out that they're going to attack the Pentagon in Wisconsin, even though it doesn't exist. So, I mean, you want to talk a little bit more about it? Well, now, to give you some idea of how wonderfully well-managed our federal government is, here is Hillary Clinton and what she's going to do with $150 million in CLIP 12.
We will be reprogramming $150 million for Egypt to put ourselves in a position to support the transition there and assist with their economic recovery. These funds will give us flexibility to respond to Egyptian needs moving forward. We'll travel to Egypt next week to consult with Egyptian counterparts on how we can most effectively deploy our assistance in line with their priorities.
Did you hear this? If this is not lunacy, if this is not Alice in Wonderland, I'd like to know what is. The country is bankrupt because of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And she says we're reprogramming $150 million for Egypt. What does reprogramming mean? Does anyone know what reprogramming means? And by the way, where does she have the audacity to support Egypt with their economic recovery when we need an economic recovery? What we need is Madison in Washington, D.C. We need to get rid of all of the left-wing socialists. 50 to 60% of the American electorate are not registered Republicans or Democrats. They're independents. We need to throw every Democrat out of office. Every last one of them needs to go, or we're going to have no nation left in another few years, and we all know that. And what's going on in Madison right now, what's going on in Wisconsin right now, is what needs to be going on in Washington, because we have completely out-of-touch imbeciles running the nation. You have Janet Napolitano after Border Patrol agents, ICE agents were executed by the Mexican military telling us the border's in fine shape. We have Hillary Clinton sending $150 million of your dollars to Egypt.
Savage.
Dip, 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 dip.
Get a job. Average city teacher salary tops $100,000. Milwaukee, MacIver News Services. For the first time in history, the average annual compensation for a teacher in the Milwaukee public school system will exceed $100,000. That staggering figure was revealed last night at a meeting of the MPS school board. The average salary for an MPS teacher is $56,500. When fringe benefits are factored in, the annual compensation will be $100,005. In 2011. And so therefore, the poor dairy farmers, the workers, the storekeepers, the so-called rich, upon whose back the state workers live, have had enough. They're tired of it. And they're saying, okay, pay a little bit of your salary towards your own health care insurance. Pay a little bit of your salary towards your pension. Instead, the demagogues are using the students. The demagogues are flying in from around the country. They're busing in children. And not to be outdone, a man we have not heard from for many a moon is now about to be heard on the Savage Nation. Play it.
The Camden spy workers, the Stanwood workers. Because all around the country, we see now 59 million Americans now have no health insurance. Insurance fees are still rising. 49 million Americans are in poverty. 44 million are on food stamps. We give the wealthiest Americans a tax cut at Christmas time. And not allow public workers. It's not right. The workers ought to fight back. And they are fighting back. And they're going to win. Keep the pressure on until the bill is killed. Keep the pressure on until the bill is killed.
What do you think about them calling this Cairo?
Well, it's the same spirit. I mean, it's a massive, non-violent, disciplined response to economic insecurity. And that is what is beautiful about Cairo, is that it was a non-violent, disciplined struggle fighting tyranny.
Non-violent.
Economic security and economic justice. Here, it's the same
economic
way.
Security.
And I think that spirit of fighting back to close the north-south gap between the surplus culture and the suffering culture, we see that fight now emerging in Ohio and all around our nation. It's not going away.
That's Jesse High Jackson comparing the poor, struggling teachers who are making $100,000 a year with the Cairo museum workers. And he, by the way, called the riots and the revolution and the burning and the looting nonviolent. Tell that to Anderson Cooper. He had his hair messed up. Never mind Lara, the poor, the female reporter who got raped. And by the way, you know, that story is a shocking story. The female reporter who was raped by the peace-loving Egyptians, raped and brutalized. Did you know that Anderson Cooper's CNN show blurred their faces out? In other words, there was a photo taken minutes before she was raped and brutalized by the peace-loving Egyptians, and their faces were seen, the people who were around her, who groped her. CNN chose to blur the images of the men from the screen on Anderson Blooper's show to show you what that network is all about. But let's go back to Jesse High Jackson. There he is. He flew himself in first class, no doubt staying in a first-class hotel, dining first class, drinking first class, clothing first class, and he's identifying with the poor, downtrodden Egyptian worker, I mean the workers in Wisconsin or whatever. Wherever there's a problem, there he is. The government flew him in, and he's saying that this is about economic justice. Well, why don't you tell that to the people of the state who have to pay for the so-called economic justice? So, there it is. You want to talk a little bit more? I'll move on, because I think we've covered it. Now we're going to go on to the biggest lunatic on the planet. There's an interesting story that's come out. I pray to God it happens sooner rather than later. The House today voted to overthrow Obama's communist czars. The House yesterday voted to dethrone 9 White House czars. Republicans successfully added an amendment to the continuing resolution that would leave Obama's senior advisor on policy issues, including health care, energy, and others out of a job. The vote was 249 to 179, and the amendment would defund the White House green job czar slot and others. And by the way, 13 Democrats voted for this amendment. Not only the usual blue dogs, the 13 decent Democrats said get rid of the czars because they are absolutely, you know, outside the Democratic fold. And these Democrats include Dan Boren, Oklahoma, Ben Chandler, Kentucky, Jerry Costello, Illinois, Henry Queller and Gene Green of Texas, Peter DeFazio, Oregon, Jim Matheson, Utah, etc. They all said, okay, yes, you're right. And so the czars are going to go. I want you to hear why the czars are going to go. In the midst of the worst blizzards we've seen in decades, I want you to listen to a lunatic left-wing Marxist czar named John Holdren, who's Obama's so-called science czar. My dog has a better idea of the scientific method than John Holdren. Listen to clips 13 and 14.
The scientific facts on the reality of climate change are very robust indeed. Every major national academy of sciences in the world, virtually all of the major professional societies that deal with the relevant disciplines, have issued statements saying that the evidence for climate change outside the realm of natural variability is overwhelming. We have very strong reason to believe that human activity is responsible for a large part of this change, that harm is already occurring, and that the harm will grow unless and until we stabilize and begin to reduce our emissions. This is the overwhelming view of scientists who study this matter around the world.
You're a lying blowhard. You're an absolute lying blowhard, because most legitimate scientists who are not, let us say, tied into the global warming mafia have said there is no reality to what you've just said, Holdren. And I could tell by your voice you were making it up as you went along. This is the overwhelming view. Everything was couched, very robust. I've heard this crap in the universities before. Scientific facts on the reality of climate change are very robust. What does that mean, robust? Either they're true or they're false, jerk. Every major academy of science has issued statements. Every academy of science is nothing but an institution of lobbyists for more money from the taxpayer. So don't tell me about academies of science today. There virtually is no science in America. Most scientists are simply doing what they're told to do in order to get a grant, in order to even get their PhD today. They have to go along with the program. I'm furious at this lie. No wonder the people want the czars thrown out. Now, if you think this is bad, you're right. But it gets even worse. Here's the most incompetent person in American history in government, Janet Napolitano from Homeland Security, talking about the killings of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in Mexico. Listen to 15.
I can speak for the entire administration when I say we are not only saddened by the loss of an agent, but we are outraged by this act of violence against an officer of the United States. And make no mistake, justice will be brought to those involved.
Yeah, right. We'll come out of reality here. As soon as we get out of the lanes, we'll figure it out. What do you mean justice will be brought to those involved? What are you talking about? How are you going to bring justice to them if it was Mexicans in Mexico who did it? Now listen to the next big lie in 16.
We remain relentless in our efforts to keep our borders secure and to assist Mexico in breaking up the cartels that are plaguing that country.
Oh, yeah, relentless. Oh, yeah. In between the bowling, we're relentless in our efforts to keep our borders secure. The border fence you cut the funding off for, that's how relentless you are in your efforts. Okay, you got armies crossing the borders, menacing farmers, running drugs, running illegal aliens. What an outrage that we live in a country like this, that we've let these Democrat socialist liars steal our very heritage, steal our borders, our language, and our culture. It gets even better in 17.
It also strengthens our resolve to do everything we can in our power to protect against, mitigate, and respond to threats and to make our nation more resilient for years to come.
Where does she come from? Who writes these speeches? Is she kidding me? To mitigate threats? Why don't you build a wall and keep them out to start with? Why don't you take the military out of Korea and put them on the border? Take the military out of Afghanistan and put them on a border with Mexico. What are you talking about? I've never heard anything like this. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Mary in New York believes that the teachers and the unions are right. Let's hear what she has to say. Mary, thanks for calling from WOR. Express your opinion as to why they're right.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I'm a school teacher in New York City, and though my though teaching does end when the children leave, work for the teachers does not
end. Wait, slow down. I heard you're a teacher, and what?
Work for the teachers does not end when those children go home. We have
work. Well, I know that. I'm a former teacher, and what else? Why shouldn't you contribute some of your own money towards your own health care insurance?
New York. We do contribute to our pension.
Oh, so what are you angry about? If you do, then you should be agreeing that they should.
We do it for the first 10 years, and then they... But we don't...
But Mary, that's what I'm saying. So what's wrong with them doing it in Wisconsin?
They should pay for their pension, but health care, I disagree 100%, because that's the least that Wisconsin can do. I'm fighting with the mayor now. They're fighting. The mayor won't even talk to the teachers in New York City.
You're fighting for what, Mary?
Fighting for our new contract in New York. The mayor.
So you would like New York to pay all of it? You don't want to pay any of it?
My health care? Well, I happen to be a health care.
Well, but even Mario Cuomo, who's a liberal Democrat, is disagreeing with you. He's saying there's no more money from the well. The world has changed, Mary. It's not the rich world that it was 5 years ago. It's a different universe.
Then, but Mario Cuomo's also saying not to lay off the teachers, and the mayor wants to.
But wait,
he won't speak to us.
We're saying two different things now. Mario Cuomo is a liberal Democrat who is now acting like a fiscal conservative with regard to the statements he is making, which match those of the governor of Wisconsin, saying that there's no more money and the people are going to have to contribute to their own pensions and health care. So what does that make him? He's also Hitler now?
I disagree, absolutely. Why should I have to pay?
Well, of course you would disagree because you don't want to pay another dime out of your salary. I can understand where you're coming from, but what is the state supposed to do if it doesn't have the money? Where is it supposed to get it from?
He's supposed to get it from all of those high-paid people that he's paying.
So, in other words, you want to tax people who are already the highest tax people in the country. You want them to pay even more taxes.
No, I want them not to get the raises that they get every year.
Who is they? Who's getting the raises that you mean? Who is it that you want to pay for your health care? Who is the greedy rich? Who are the greedy rich you're referring to?
No, wait, not the greedy rich. The people that the mayor put on his payroll to make sure that everything is
open. Oh, you mean Mayor Bloomberg now, the great Mayor Bloomberg, the billionaire. You mean with his patronage jobs, his $100,000 a year specialists who do nothing. Look, Mary, I want to just start from the top. I'm a former teacher. It's a terribly hard job. If you're one of the dedicated ones, it's the toughest job in America next to being a cop. In many ways, it's one of the worst jobs on earth. You really have to be dedicated. On the other hand, where is the money supposed to come from is what we're saying.
I think that the mayor needs to cut other things.
All right. So your argument is a little different in New York City than it is in Wisconsin. But at the end of the day, tell me if I'm wrong. You're saying that you actually agree that teachers should pay a portion of their salary towards their own pensions, right?
Oh, I'm Absolutely. Well, yes. Yes.
And okay. All right, fine. Sound like one of my cousins. I'm pretty sure you are. You sound like a cousin that I remember from New York. By the way, speaking of this, I'm not going to do this on the air. I sent my saliva in about 4 months ago. It came back. I've never seen such rubbish in my life. I'm not going to name the company. You know the kit you send in? You spit in the jar and you learn your ancestry? I have never seen such rubbish in my life. According to this, I'm related to Jesse Jackson and somebody from Japan. That's number one. I mean, it's just crazy. I never saw anything such gibberish in my life. How do they stay in business, companies like this? They promise you they're going to tell you your ancestry and where you come from and haploid and this ploid, that ploid. And believe me, I have a PhD and I understand a little bit about genetics. It was almost impossible to decipher the report they sent me. But number two, the report seems to be so generalized it has no bearing whatsoever. I'd like to read some of this to you later on. Wisconsin, Allison, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, go on. You're on national radio. Go ahead.
Hi. I said
you're on the radio. Stop with the hi twice. What's on your mind?
Well, the gentleman told me to calm down a little bit. I was just a little irate listening to your conversation in regards to Madison. I was actually at the protest today, so I got to experience it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I am employed through a school district in the Madison area. I'm a temporary employee currently funded under Title I funds, so I'm not under a contract with the union.
Well, okay, aside from you, don't you think it's only fair that people pay a portion of their salary towards their own pensions?
They are already paying a portion. That's what you said, that they're not paying a portion. They're paying 6% for medical and or health benefits, and they are paying
right.
a portion of their pension.
All right, so he needs them to pay more, something that's only 50% of what the private sector pays. In other words, even if he raised it to double what they're paying, it would still only be 50% of what the person in the private sector pays.
No, you can't, because private sectors have opportunities to make a lot more money than public.
Oh, there we go again. There we go again. The jealousy of the private sector. Don't you know what's going on in the real world outside of your public sector job? There's been a decimation of work in the private sector, madam. There are millions of people out of work who would love to be a teacher. Don't you know that?
Well, maybe they didn't go to school to be a teacher.
No, maybe they did go to school to be a teacher, but they can't get hired because the greedy teachers have taken so much money for themselves that there's not enough money for more teachers to give younger ones a chance.
So
did you ever think that maybe the teacher's not making market value? Maybe they're making too much for the job?
Okay. Starting off at $30,000.
Well, we know that, but that doesn't end up at $30,000. It says for the first time in history, the average annual compensation for a teacher in the Milwaukee public school system will exceed $100,000. Did you know that?
I do not agree with that. It's interesting how
Of course you don't agree with it because you don't want to accept reality. This figure was revealed last night at a meeting of the MPS school board. Now, how could you argue with the Milwaukee Public School Board? You're only a temporary teacher. You don't even know what the figures are.
Oh, I do know what the figures are because I have been in the school district for 7 years.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. If you know what the figures are, you're saying that the Milwaukee Public Schools are lying when they say that the average salary will be $100,000?
I don't live in Milwaukee. I live in Madison.
I understand that. So, in other words, you don't care what's going on in Milwaukee.
Oh, I definitely care about all of humanity, unlike yourself.
Unlike myself. So now you're categorizing what I care about. You suddenly know me.
Well,
Have you ever heard this show before or only today?
I have.
You have and you can say that?
You can say
that I don't care about humanity because I want teachers to pay their fair share of pensions. I'm suddenly Hitler?
Do you know what the percentages are that...
Madam, hold on. You just insulted me. You said you care about humanity and I don't. What is it that I don't care about in humanity? Go ahead and say it.
Okay, first of all, you were saying that people in Wisconsin are a bunch of pot crackheads.
No, I didn't say crack. I was very specific as to the drug. I said the people in Madison are crackpots. I didn't say crackheads. I said crackpots, potheads, and other sorts of miscreants. They all seem to gravitate to Madison. Madison is the Berkeley of your state, is it not? Anti-war, anti-American, anti-family, anti-flag, anti-church, anti-cop, correct?
It's the, like listed at top.
Please take a walk. No wonder you're part time. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Stand in solidarity with the Wisconsin workers fighting for their rights, especially I commend all the students and young people leading the charge again for fairness and for opportunity in their community.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
There's the kind and gentle Nancy Pelosi in solidarity with the poor children of Wisconsin. Now, to lay the facts on the table, you know, I understand when people go before a judge, both sides have phenomenally long lists of grievances and complaints and counter complaints and attempts to throw out and change. The judge at a certain point gets to two lawyers and says, wait a minute, what is this all about? Let's put the papers aside. And she says, what are you actually saying in your lawsuit? And the other, what are you actually saying in yours? You know, let's put this on the table. The economy has collapsed because of Bernie Madoff and men who make Madoff look like a pauper, who are still not indicted, not in jail. They collapsed the economy. They stole trillions of dollars from America. And so the states are now bankrupt. They don't know what to do, so they're starting by tightening their belts. Do you think they have an obligation to tighten their belts, yes or no? Yes. The answer is, though, from whom? Right? You're saying from the rich? Who are the rich? Define the rich. Do me a favor.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hysteria reigns in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest, the upper Midwest. I don't think you know really what's going on here. Well, let's put it to you this way. The Tea Parties, the evil Tea Parties behind all of this. Because no portion of the country was more comprehensively altered by the 2010 elections than the seven states of the upper Midwest that run from Minnesota to Ohio. Before the election, Democrats controlled all the houses of those states. They had it in a stranglehold of socialism. Now Republicans have a virtual control over the politics, controlling both houses of legislature and the governor's chairs in Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin. You have to ask yourself why. Why has this switch occurred? It occurred because the people got fed up with Nancy Pelosi, the union thugs, out of control public spending, public benefits, for welfare recipients and such. They didn't want to pay it anymore. This week, at least 25,000 union organized protesters came in and around the Capitol into Madison to cause a riot against the governor. The state legislature is in shambles. The cowardly Democrats, like children from Uzbekistan, fled the state. They are in another state hiding. They won't even vote. Tomorrow, there's going to be another change, when the state's Tea Party activists are going to counter-protest, and we're going to see how big that will be tomorrow. And this clash that is going on in Madison is a representation of what's going to go on across America. And yet, We don't know the outcome yet. We don't know whether the governor will cave into the unions. We don't know whether the unions will have to finally listen to the people. But we do know this. Nothing will ever be the same after this. Now, the usual suspects are showing up in Wisconsin. Jesse High Jackson, who has been hiding for a long while or very busy with government contracts from Obama, hasn't been heard from, shows up and compares it to Cairo. Now, what is this all about? What does the governor want to do? The governor would require state employees, including teachers, to pay about 5.8% toward their pension, which is about equal to the private sector national average. He wants them to pay about 12% of their health care benefits. Right now, they pay about 6% of their salary towards health care benefits. But even this 12% would be about half the private sector national average. These changes will help the state save only $30 million in the last 3 months of the current fiscal year. This is only the beginning. Much more has to go on. This is only the beginning. And already the unions are rioting. And the rent-a-mobs are being bussed in. And the out-of-state agitators are coming in from points east. So this issue of what's going on in Madison is very, very germane to what's going to go on for the next couple of years because of the elections from this past November that brought to the forefront a lot of small government conservatives in a very bad economic environment. And so, therefore, the people have to understand that somebody has to give something somewhere. You have seven key states throughout the Democrat Socialists. I'll repeat them again if you missed them. Well, I don't have to repeat them. It's the upper Midwest. This was once one of the most liberal areas in the United States of America, and they got eaten alive. They were so liberal, they were eaten alive by the state workers and by the unions who kept giving themselves one pension benefit after another, one health care benefit after another, more vacation days after another, until eventually the people got fed up and threw out the Democrats. And so we have an issue here that's going to spread to the whole country, all because of the God-blessed Tea Partiers. And they're tomorrow counter-protesting, as I say. It should be very interesting. We'll see how peaceful Jesse Jackson's minions are tomorrow when the conservatives will be out there tomorrow for the Wisconsin Freedom Rally. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. This is a big story. You want to chime in on it? Go ahead. Do you think it's too much to ask of the teachers in Wisconsin, particularly in Wisconsin, to pay 5.8% toward their pension and to pay about 12% of their health care benefits? You think it's too much to ask of them, yes or no? Chicago, Susan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I don't think it's too much. They should be paying that. Michael, do you see the lawlessness in Wisconsin? It is illegal.
I see legislators who should be put in prison for 30 days for contempt of their own Congress. I see Democrat thugs who will not face their own responsibilities. How can they be role models for the children? But let's put aside role models. They're breaking the law by leaving the state and not voting. They should be arrested. Or they should be disbarred, thrown out of office. There should be special elections held. They should be disqualified, thrown out, and special elections held in every Democrat's district who has left the state and won't vote. That's what I think should happen.
And also, it is illegal to strike for the teachers to strike and the other public employees, and yet they're lying, they're calling in sick, they're breaking the law. What kind of role model are these teachers?
Well, they're using the children, which is the worst part of it. I mean, I don't mind them calling in sick. I mean, of course, it's an illegal tactic, but it's done. It's been done before. But to use children like this is a disgrace. And that's the part that bothers me the most, second to the Democrats running out of the state. So I personally understand the plight of teachers. I know they work hard. The good ones do. The dedicated teachers work much more than an eight-hour day. Many of them have to pay for their own school supplies. I'm aware of all of this. I'm not sitting here in an ivory tower of conservatism and saying I don't understand what teachers live through. I do. I'm a former teacher. On the other hand, somebody's got to pay something at some point towards their own pensions and towards their health care. In fact, this is just the beginning. The real so-called 400-pound gorilla, Susan, you know what it is, and Susan, yes, is really not this issue. This is only the beginning. You want to hear what the really big issue is? It's the retired cops, the retired firemen right now who are living like King Midas on pensions that are unsupportable. they're going to have to retroactively go into cops and firemen's pensions and cut them. And that is going to cause me to pay people $500,000 on their retirement as a cop, and then pay them $200,000 or $300,000 a year because they stacked the deck against the people by getting sick in the last year and claiming it was just the country today. Do you know that?
I'm hearing about it.
Do you know what these salaries are like? $500,000 a year some of them are taking in, police chiefs in California, in a broke state. And then they're retiring on $250,000 a year for life pensions. It's unbelievable. Who ever heard of anything like this? In other words, who's going to pay for it? And it's the retroactive pension problem that has broke the states. But there's another issue that I've been talking about for at least 15 years. Illegal aliens have bankrupted California. We hear that the state's budget deficit is $25 billion. It's much higher. We know that. But we've estimated that much of the deficit could be wiped out almost immediately if the services that are not required by law were eliminated immediately for illegal aliens. It's commonsensical. Put a highway patrolman in every emergency room, in every hospital, and if you have no ticky, you get no laundry unless it's a catastrophic auto accident. Otherwise, I'm sorry, we can't afford it. Go back to your home country and get the wonderful medical care that you're used to in your home country. I have been in emergency rooms. I have seen them bring children in with running noses, running up bills with whole families sitting in there with translators provided by the state, bilingual translators, so that the junior can be tell them what his running nose is like. And the grandmother's there, the grandfather's there, the children are there, the cousins are there, and they're all getting free medical care because that's where they go for their primary care. Of course that has to stop. How about bilingual education in the country? Who ever heard of such a thing? If you're an American, learn English, period, end of story. Who ever heard of spending billions of dollars a year on English as a second language? English is the first language of the land. Learn it or don't learn it. But we're not going to spend the money to teach you in your own home language. You should have learned it when you were there or learned it on the side, like my grandfather had to do and my father had to do. What kind of country is this? The answer is we've had 40 straight years of Democrat socialism. They've bankrupted every institution of the country. They have weakened us internationally. They've destroyed the moral fiber of America. And that is exactly what this war is about in Madison. This is only the tip of the iceberg. I'll be right back.
Savage.
In public schools is a very difficult job. I'm a former teacher. I taught in high schools. I taught in junior high schools. I taught in colleges many, many decades ago. I know what a difficult job it is. They're underpaid. They're overworked. It's a given. However, they're not as underpaid and as overworked as they were in my day. I had to take a second or a third job when I was a teacher. In fact, most teachers that I know today have a second job. However, if you compare that job and the security of that job and other public sector jobs with what is actually going on in America today, as opposed to what they're making believe is going on, they're doing quite well. Government employees earn much more on average than their private citizen counterparts, even before the bennies are considered. They get raises on a regular basis without performance being considered. They get per diem for travel. They get phenomenal health care coverage. They get COLA increases. I have no idea which private citizens earn such benefits at normal jobs. Government employment, frankly, is a very good deal, but it's a form of welfare at the end of the day. New York City, WOR, Chris, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, the problem with the governor's proposals in Wisconsin, if you ask me, is the collective bargaining issue. How can you just arbitrarily say, I'm going to do away with collective bargaining?
I understand that they're trying now. That's the new tactic of the unions, to say that, well, we would have been in favor of a little negotiation on behalf of the health care and pensions, but we're not going to give up collective bargaining. What the governor is saying is that we can't deal with the unions because they're coming at the people from an unfair position. The people recognize that there's nothing wrong with the teachers' lives right now. Is there anything really unfair or wrong with being a teacher? And if they're so unhappy with their working conditions as a public employee, Why don't they quit and go into the private sector, which they keep saying is so lucrative?
Michael, like I said, I mean, the private sector right now has taken a beating with the economy. But there are sectors of the private sector that are doing quite well. Look at Wall Street. You got hedge fund managers.
But Wall Street, if you added up the number of people in Wall Street in numbers, and even in income, I think it would be pretty small compared to the overall number of working Americans and the income that they the taxes that they generate.
Right.
Look, you have no argument with me about taxing the people on Wall Street with various taxes. I would certainly raise taxes on hedge funds. I would tax hedge fund profits at 50%. Okay, you can put me on record with that. Any hedge fund profit should be taxed at 50%. That would serve a twofold purpose. One, it would spread the wealth around, number one, and number two, it would stop some of this wild and crazy speculation. So you have no argument with me. Look, I pointed it out in Trickle Up Poverty how they orchestrated the meltdown of our economy. Where did that money all go, by the way? They stole it. The money didn't disappear, presto, go up in the air. It was stolen. Trillions of dollars were removed from the economy. Where did it go? Money doesn't disappear. When a company was put out of business and people were fired and their pensions were stolen, their 401ks, the money went in the hands of gigantic hedge funds and manipulators of Wall Street. I know this, Chris.
Absolutely. But, you know, you're right. They should pay more toward their health benefits, and they should pay more toward their pensions. I used to work for the city of New York, and in hard times, the unions here did contribute more and do what we had to do to help the city. But, I
think government jobs today are excellent. They're a great place to weather a storm of unemployment. They're a great place to be when the economy's bad. But that's why a lot of people took these jobs. It doesn't mean they're bad. It's an interesting other side to the story that I think is worth talking about, because I remember when I was a young kid, and I wasn't a particularly good student in college. I was unfocused. I didn't know what I wanted to do. The kids around me all knew what they wanted to do. I was too dreamy. I didn't know that I was really very intelligent. I always was told I wasn't. I had no idea how brilliant I was at that time. And I'm not boasting. The truth is I've proven that I'm a fairly intelligent guy by my body of work, period, end of story. At that time, I was not that good in school. But neither was Charles Darwin or Albert Einstein, and I'm not putting myself in their category. So my father said to me, look, you don't know really what you want to do. He said, why don't you become a teacher? I said, why? I don't really want to teach. It's boring. I hate school. And he was a poor man who lived through the Depression. So he said, because a teaching job is a good stepping stone, he said. I said, what do you mean a stepping stone? He said, well, you have something to fall back on. That's the thinking of that era. These are common phrases that many of my listeners have probably had heard at the same time. He said, it's a stepping stone and something to fall back on. I said, what do you mean fall back on? He said, well, you could teach, and then if you're really motivated to work in another job or to go into business, you could always have your teaching income, and if it doesn't work out, you could fall back on your teaching. He said, also, I got to tell you something, Michael, during the Depression, he kept going back to that, he said, who do you think lived the best in New York City during the Depression, other than, let us say, the very rich? I said, who? He said, the cops, the firemen, and the teachers. I said, why? He said, because they had steady, regular income. They had good jobs. So you have to say we're in a recession right now or a depression, depending upon where you live and what the circumstances are. The teachers took lower salaries all of these years in order to have this income, this steady income, during this downtime. And I could understand that. That's good. On the other hand, the states are broke today. So they're saying you have to pay a little bit more of your money towards your pension and your health care. So I do understand both sides of it. I'm not coming at it from a guy in the sky who doesn't know what's going on. Look how we've gone from the Boston Tea Party to the Madison Me Party in one generation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number, michaelsavage.com. We could move on to other topics unless you're really heated up over this. There are many other topics, such as I was right. The Muslim Brotherhood is taking over Egypt, and Hillary Clinton is sending them $150 million as a congratulation note. Do you think Hillary Clinton should send $150 million of your tax money to Egypt to help them with their economic problems? What's the answer to that question? $150 million to Egypt. You believe this?
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. If only Eisenhower was still president. Well, this just came out on the Drudge Report. Hillary Clinton says Israeli settlements are illegitimate. Okay, attention Jewish shoppers. Attention Jewish liberals. Hillary Clinton just said Israeli settlements are illegitimate. And she's sending $150 million to the Muslim Brotherhood. Play at the hop. Play at the hop, that's all. What do they call it? Hillary Clinton says Israeli settlements are illegitimate. That would be like saying all U.S. settlements in Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Southern Texas are illegitimate. Everything's illegitimate. All the land you sit on is illegitimately taken from a previous inhabitant in one way or the other. So ask a liberal if they like to give their house back to the Indian tribe that lived there before the white man arrived. That's the way I used to beat them in arguments decades ago when I still bothered arguing with liberals. When they start mouthing off about illegitimate settlements and this, and how the illegal aliens really, this was part of Mexico. I said, well, why don't you just give your house to a group of Mexican housekeepers here in Marin County, California? Just give your house in San Francisco, all you liberals on Pacific Heights, to a Miwok, a descendant of the Miwoks. Give them your house on Pacific Heights. Usually shuts them right up. Illegitimate. Everything's illegitimate to the liberal. So you know how this works, right? The American left has chosen to align themselves with the gangs who want to destroy Jews, destroy Israel, and the proof is in the pudding. You will now have Madam Hillary indicating to the Arab mobs that Israel no longer has its only reliable ally. While the CBS correspondent was being gang raped by the so-called peace-loving crowd in Cairo, did you know they were chanting death to the Jews? I mean, I've tried to point it out to you. I've tried to tell you that any vote for any Democrat for any office is a vote for Israel to be destroyed and every Jew living there to be murdered. How is it that you don't understand this issue? Is this not important to you that the Holocaust is happening again in slow motion? Don't you understand what's going on? Do you think Israel's simply going to disappear because a bunch of Arab maniacs want them to die? Is that what you think? You want me to relive this whole argument? Do you know that when the Israelis, well, when Israel was created, do you know that all the Jews were kicked out of northern African countries and their land and possessions seized? And the Jewish people had lived there for hundreds of years, some of them. Did you know that? Did you know that after 1923, all Jews living east of the Jordan were forced to move and they lost everything? And that the land west of the Jordan was land for the Jews, but the Arabs did not have to move at that time? Did you know that the Hashemites were forced out of Saudi Arabia by the royals? And the British gave the Hashemites the land of Transjordan, which became Jordan. And did you know that when the Jews declared their independence, the Jordanian slash Hashemites under British military leadership attacked and assumed control over what is now called the West Bank? Samaria and Judea are Jewish, by the way. They always have been Jewish. There has never been a Palestinian people. Read Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, and you will see that Jordan, Syria, Gaza, and Lebanon will soon fall. There's a lot more to this story, and if you look at it only through the lens of the left-wing college professors, most of whom are in favor of believing that global warming has existed even during the worst blizzard in decades, if I took these teachers, if I took the true believers from the streets of Madison or the streets of Berkeley or the streets of the Upper West Side, and I said to them, global warming is caused by man, eh? Oh, you betcha, the science is in. And I said, okay, what is it caused by? Is it caused by carbon dioxide or carbon trioxide? I'll bet you 99% of them would say carbon dioxide, even though there's no such compound. They wouldn't even know that I was faking them out. Try it on them. I've just given away a big secret here. Say to them, is global warming caused by carbon dioxide or carbon trioxide? They, well, of course it's caused by carbon dioxide. And that's because most of them think by, you know. But the point is that there's no such thing as carbon dioxide. They don't know the difference. But the doxy that is in place in the left is that global warming is real, it's caused by man, and it has something to do with carbon something oxide. It's the same groupthink. It's the same left-wing stupidity that says the Jews don't belong there, the Jews were never there, the poor Arabs are oppressed, the poor Arabs need to be helped, etc., and so on. And so at the end of the day, it's a war. This is what causes wars. It has what's caused wars. At a certain point, no side is willing to admit that they're wrong, and eventually war is the only thing that works. That's all there is to it. And this country is now becoming a war zone. Wherever you turn, wherever the people have elected conservatives who say enough is enough, we're cutting back on this, we're cutting back on that, right away the union thugs are in the street. They bust in the out-of-state agitators like Jesse Jackson. Now in Wisconsin, you have the astounding situation of Democrat lawmakers, so-called, running away and hiding in another state, which, by the way, they should be arrested. Or if not arrested, then their seats should be declared null and void, and the governor should call a special election for every one of those districts. You want to teach them a lesson? You want to get tough? You tell them if they're not back to vote by Monday, every one of their seats will be declared null and void, and there'll be a special election held in those districts within a week. That's number one. Number two, the teachers are not happy with their benefits. Tell you what, you're not back to work by Monday, you're going to be fired, and we're going to use part-time teachers and those who have been on waiting lists for years to get your job, to take your job at your salaries with the existing package that we're putting before you. You don't want it? Then take a job in a private sector. You know, in other words, at a certain point, push comes to shove. Whoever has the power has to use that power. And that's what's going on. The union thinks it has the power by amassing the mobs in the gutters. And the governor thinks he has the power by mere mandate of a democracy. But since when has democracy ever held sway in the United States of America? Take a look at Obama with his czars. This man has no faith in democracy. This man has no faith in the institutions of democracy. Look at what Nancy Pelosi did when she was in power. She believed in democracy. She used every dirty trick known to mankind to force through the most illegal bill in the history of America, which is Obamacare. It didn't matter to her. She had a goal in mind. She used the tactics of the communist left, which is by any means necessary. Thuggery, bribery, it didn't matter. And she thought that she won. Well, guess what? She didn't win. Because the people spoke in November, they threw her out, and they threw 100 of her colleagues out. And I think that's only the beginning. I believe that after Wisconsin and what's going to come down the pike in this country, I believe you're going to see hundreds of Democrats fired in any election, wherever it occurs. Because the people can't afford it anymore. So that's a long story here. Hillary Clinton just declared Israel and the settlements in Israel illegitimate. That's like saying global warming is caused by carbon trioxide. Jonathan in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. The union labor movement, my belief, is critical and fundamental to the existence of a middle class in this country, and the demonization in broad general terms of the union labor movement, I think, is terribly unfair and doesn't speak to the history.
Your first statement is that unions are necessary for the survival of the middle class.
That's correct, sir.
Well, the fight in Wisconsin is actually the middle class who threw the Democrat socialists out, who was saying no to the union. So how do you define the middle class? The voters are, by, let's say, definition, generally middle class. And if you add up all the numbers, wouldn't you say most voters are members of the middle class?
No, I wouldn't necessarily subscribe to that generalization. I think people.
Okay, would you say that most voters are rich?
I say most voters vote across a broad spectrum of economic.
Yeah, but by and large, would you say that there are more rich voting than more middle class or more poor voting? Would you say that in any election, generally, isn't it generally outweighed by the poor and the middle class rather than the rich? There aren't that many rich. So by by numbers, you can't say that the vote is dominated by the rich, can you?
Well, I think the polls, to a certain extent, are dominated by the rich, but not necessarily because of their vote in the ballot box, but because of the financial influence that they exert with respect to political contributions.
Oh, you mean like poor Obama, who had a struggle to get the $1 trillion to become president? Where did that money come from?
For very wealthy constituents and a broad base of small contributors.
Now you want it both ways. Now you say that Obama was elected by poor people and very rich people.
Well, he won the election, I think.
Saying, where did the $1 trillion come from? How did an unknown senator raise $1 trillion? Where did it come from?
Through powerful political connections.
Okay, but let's go back to your main point. My point is that the middle class is rebelling against the unions because the unions don't represent the interests of the middle class in Wisconsin. The middle class are the ones who pay the taxes, after all. They're saying we're taxed to death and we think the teachers should pay a fair share of their health care and their pensions. So how can you say it's the middle class that the unions represent when they don't represent the middle class?
I would disagree with that point, because I think the broad range of people who are represented by collective bargaining agreements and who are union members, whether they're teachers, firemen, policemen, garbage men, toll collectors.
Right. And you don't think that most of them are overpaid and their pensions are too high? You think pensions of $150,000 a year are the correct pensions for firemen?
I think.
You think that the middle class can afford cop pensions of that magnitude or fireman pensions of that magnitude? You've seen what's coming out and what kind of monies they're taking in.
But I think in any instance,
I mean, by your own definition, the cops and firemen are retiring, are now members of the rich.
I don't happen to subscribe to that fact, because first of all, I'm a member of two separate unions.
Wait a minute. What fact are we talking about? Cops and firemen are retiring with gargantuan pensions that the states and cities can't afford. They're the pensions that you would normally associate with the rich, not with the middle class. You see the kinds of numbers. They've been all over your newspapers in New York. You know that. I'm not making this up.
There are some extreme examples and some unfair practices like in any other area, but for the most part, the general membership of the...
Oh, really? Are you sure that most cops don't fake sicknesses in their last year on the job in order to qualify for a certain disability benefit that adds to their pension in their last year, so their pension goes up by 30%? You don't think that's a standard tactic being used now across America?
It happens, but I don't think you can general...
Well, I think if you studied it as closely as I have, you'd see that it's more generalized than you may imagine. But let's get back to your main point, Jonathan. You think the unions are necessary to protect or sustain the middle class? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then let's use the example of the auto industry. Is it not true that the unions destroyed the auto industry in Detroit because of the extraordinary salaries, pensions, and benefits that they demanded for their auto workers?
I think what destroyed the auto...
Wait a minute. Excuse me. Why do you think they moved their factories to Mexico? Because they couldn't afford to build a car in Detroit. They got so lazy and so fat on union contracts that the whole middle class was destroyed in Detroit because of the unions. It was the unions who through greed, destroyed the middle class. Jonathan, come on. Listen, you're probably a nice guy. When I was younger, you and I probably would have been friends, but I have an older man's wisdom. The fact of the matter is, when you think about this again after the radio show, you know, in the middle of the night when you lay down, you'll say, oh, you know, Savage raised a good point, that the unions destroyed the auto industry. And the proof is that they moved the factories to Mexico. You look at half the cars that were made in Detroit, they're made in Mexico now. Why? Because there's no union wages, no union pensions, no union health care. Yet the people in Mexico are producing nice cars. They're doing it for a decent wage. They're not living on nothing a day. They're making a decent wage, but they're not making the extraordinarily high wages with the high benefits that the auto workers demanded out of the auto companies in Detroit. So I think your argument has been destroyed by mere fact that I've given you one major example, a clear one at that, of how unions, in fact, do not support the middle class, but often decimate it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I think before we leave this hour, I have to revisit the last call on the Savage Nation, because a nice young man who's well-meaning on the side of the, I would say, the lower middle class worker in some unions, said that unions are necessary to sustain or support the middle class in America. And I listened to him. It's an argument that may have been true in 1940 or 1930 or 1920. And the unions did phenomenal work. I've spoken to truckers in my career when I was on the road as a consultant. I used to speak to limo drivers and such. And never forget, one black man had told me the life of a trucker in America in the 1930s before unions. And I certainly understood what he was saying. And I said, well, the AFL-CIO did a great job for you. And I agreed with him. The unions were necessary at a certain point in American history. But if you compare state workers or city workers today and their salaries and their benefits to any private sector job, equivalent job, they're doing much better, far better. And there's no need for this collective bargaining and this union nonsense anymore. You know, Jimmy Hoffa's, you know, long gone, okay? It's not the labor union of the 1940s. It's over. 50s even. Though it's a different world. There's been a recession slash depression. The people don't have the money. The states are broke. The federal government's broke, although they're acting like they're still a monster with unlimited money. Hillary Clinton writing checks every other week, $150 million today to Egypt to support their economy. Unbelievable. But the point is, my argument was very clear. He said it's unions necessary to support the middle class. My example is Detroit. The extraordinary union wages and benefits put out by the auto workers union over the years by attrition, little by little, they kept demanding through collective bargaining now, one increase after another. The workers became lazier and fatter until eventually the industry was destroyed. And the automobile manufacturers moved their plants to Mexico and other places to make your local General Motors car. Cars are still wonderful. The workers make a decent wage in Mexico. They're not starving. If you've seen images, I've seen some pictures of cars made in Mexico now. There was a show recently of a modern plant in Mexico where they're making a Chevrolet, I don't know, one of the models, run by a Mexican guy, Mexican workers. Everyone's dressed well. They seem like they're well-fed. I don't know what their wages. They didn't look like they were starving to death drinking muddy water. Cars were good. All the machinery was the same as we would have had in Detroit if it wasn't for the unions who decimated the industry. And they decimated it by demanding too much. In other words, they killed the goose that laid the golden egg. Let's put it to you in plain terms. By increasing wages, by increasing benefits, by making it so that the owner of the factory or the manager couldn't fire anyone. You know, the guy could be the laziest, worst worker on earth. He couldn't fire him. He could be the worst worker. He could do every mistake, and they couldn't be fired because of union laws. So what happened is that eventually they destroyed the industry. Take a look at Detroit. Why do you think it went out of business? Because of the unions. Everyone knows this. Why do you think the Japanese are building cars in America in areas where there's no unions? Tennessee, why did they build Honda plants or whatever they built down there in Tennessee? There's non-union workers. Why? Because they couldn't afford to do it if it was union wages. So, yes, of course it's nice for a worker to make more money. In the ideal world, it would be great for the unions to represent the worker where they get more and more and more. But we're not in an ideal world. We're in a real world. And everything comes to an end. Everything comes to an end. And many of us are still living in another world. So some of these arguments from dinosaurs like Jesse Jackson is an example of a man living in the past. Jesse Jackson's been living in the 60s. He doesn't even know what century it is. Nancy Pelosi is still using the rhetoric of the 60s. She's in solidarity with the workers, you hear? And the young people who are at the forefront of the revolution in Madison. Lunacy, lunacy, lunacy. The bottom line is we're in a recession slash depression, depending upon the region of America. The states are broke. They know it. The states in the north, upper Midwest, threw out the Democrat socialists. They changed the House of Cards. They put in fiscal conservatives, and they're doing what the people want. To me, the people should speak, not the unions. And number two, what's going on in Wisconsin is astounding. It's something I would have seen in Uzbekistan. For the Democrats to leave the state rather than vote, the governor should fire them all, declare that their positions are null and void because they've abrogated their responsibilities, and hold special elections for them unless they're back to work by Monday. And tell the teachers you're violating your contract. Unless you're back to work Monday, you're fired. And we're going to use temporary people for your job. You're fired. How's that? You want to get people moving? Fire them.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
the big nightmare going on in America is the absentee legislators. They're all Democrats. They're like children who ran away from the fight. They've run away from the fight. They refuse to even vote to show you who the Democrats are, what thugs they are. As you know, there's a big fight going on in Wisconsin. The governor needs a quorum to hold a vote. The Democrats have left the state. And take a guess which side Obama has come out on. The unions, of course. Now, all the governor is trying to do is balance his budget. And he said so. He said to the president, stay out of our business. Why don't you balance the federal budget the way I'm trying to balance the state budget? It's a giant deal because the Democrat senators are saying, we're going to stay away for weeks. We're hiding. They've closed the schools. Teachers are calling in sick. The average city teacher compensation tops $100,000 in this city, if you can believe this. Obama's behind them. Take a guess who's jumped in on the rally. Jesse Hi Jackson. Rent the mob, there he is. He's calling it a real Martin Luther King moment. You hear this? The Republicans across America are vowing to cut spending in state capitals. Protests are now spreading to Ohio and Michigan. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to decide which side you're on. Are you on the side of balancing a budget or enriching unions and fat teachers and state pensions? Make your decision because it's coming to a state near you. Other headlines. Egypt okays Iran warships going through the Suez Canal. Gee, I'm shocked by that. Snowstorms. Winter. Wow. Fighting through the Midwest and the Northeast. State budgets on the brink in Texas, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, California. Left-wing radical activists, so-called, are swarming Mr. Boehner's Capitol Hill home, chanting, don't tread on D.C. They're threatening him. There's a mess going on all over the world, all caused by you-know-who. Do I have to mention his name? Speaking of his name, take a guess what kind of dog is behind a record number of bites. Tiny dogs. Nothing to do with anything I've been talking about. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There's so many other stories. Let us go to my website, michaelsavage.com, and see what the heck is up there, because I've been sending stories all morning, frankly. Iran's Revolutionary Guard pledges to hold fire on the people. Really? First time in U.S. history, Obama sides with Arabs against Jews. Wake up, little Susie. Michael Walsh, New York Post, says the U.S. intelligence community is fighting terror with blather. With the country having been shot in the back repeatedly by intelligence failures, isn't it time to declare forthrightly that victory is our ultimate objective? He is right. Medicare fraud bust, take a look at it. You won't believe it. 100 doctors, nurses, and physical therapists in 9 cities with Medicare fraud busted yesterday. Scammers were read their Miranda rights, not in English, but in Russian. See, in America, the streets are paved with gold. You got to understand that. That's why everybody wants to come here. Unrest in the Mideast, North Africa, country by country on michaelsavage.com. Oh, there's so much mess here, I don't even know. Let me go to the bottom of the site and see what's there. That's where the fun stuff is. It snowed in San Francisco before the car was invented in 1882. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, what does that have to do with global warming? Answer, nothing. There's a comedian named Chris Rock who has rocks for brains between his ears. He calls tea parties and tea partiers racists. Have you ever listened to this filth mouth? You ever listened to this demented, brainless idiot who has rocks between his ears? Well, speaking of the news reporter from CBS who was raped by Egyptian thugs, CNN's Anderson Cooper ran the story in the midst of talking about his hair being mussed up, and CNN blurred the images of the Egyptian rapists and thugs. Any questions from anyone as to why CNN would blur the images of the rapists and thugs of the pictures taken moments before the woman was raped? TSA agents arrested for stealing $40,000 from passengers' luggage. If you are a man who uses human growth hormone to look younger, don't use it. Anyone seeking the fountain of youth, you better think twice. Read the article on michaelsavage.com, linked up from the LA Times. What else is going on? Police are hunting the Democrats who skipped the vote to curtail union rights. Obama is forcing Marines to undergo gay training. There's no end to it. The world is on fire, all caused by the meddler. All found on this radio show every day and on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It was hailing out here, and the reason you should care is it means in 2 or 3 days you're going to get walloped on the East Coast again. And as you well know, if you're a college student, you're sure that this cold weather and snow is caused by global warming, even though you don't understand it at all, because Al Gorleone and the other goons in the so-called scientific disestablishment have taught you that it's
caused by, you see, the Earth is so upset by the carbon that it gets mixed up and it creates snow in the winter. We don't know exactly how. It's caused by some kind of carbon some oxide.
Well, sir, is it dioxide, trioxide, or bioxide?
It's carbon some oxide. Carbon's bad.
Well, can you explain what carbon is, sir?
I don't know what it is. It was in a pencil that I used years ago. I heard it's very bad for you. It's in the back of a tailpipe. And I need my medical marijuana. I don't feel good. I want some government marijuana.
So that's the world I live in. So I think what I'm going to do instead of... I told you what's going on. See, I'd like to wake up tomorrow and see that Israel blew the warships out of the Suez Canal. That's all. I want to wake up once and see somebody in the democratic world do something. Once! I want to see Israel destroy the Iranian warships in the Suez Canal, blow them out of the water, kill everybody on the ships. I want to see somebody kill the pirates and blow up their pirate skiffs. Once I'd like to see this country do something decent under this despot that we have in the White House. But it's not going to happen. He set the world on fire. You just got to see Marlon Brando's old movie Burn to know who Obama is. He's setting the sugar fields on fire, to put it in that context. So since you don't want to talk about carbon some oxide or the meddler in the White House or Israel, and the apathy in America now is at an all-time high because of the psychotic revolutionaries that are running the country. I told you there's a new trend where people are bypassing state licensing and they're becoming what's known as coaches. People who are such idiots who would pay them, I don't understand it, but it's a big trend. Apparently they charge a fortune. You call them up like you have a trip to, you're going away this weekend for President's Weekend with your children and you can't stand your husband, for example, and you really hate your children. You don't want to be with them. And you're feeling conflicted about going anywhere with them, skiing. You don't want to be in the room with them. The thought of it is giving you claustrophobia and hives. But you're afraid to tell anybody because they'll think that you're a bad person, so you don't know who to turn to. You're afraid to even turn to a psychiatrist for fear they'll turn you into to the state. So you're going to a life coach. You're paying them $300 an hour. So an hour before you get in the car, wherever you're going to go to, like the Poconos to go skiing, you call Roberta Life Coach. And she tells you, don't worry, it'll be okay, just take some pills and drink. And you say, I feel much better. There's one thing Donald Trump said about me that I liked. It's the only thing he said about me that I liked, because the only thing he ever said about me is I was at Mar-a-Lago. Someone invited me to a lunch there. It was a very nice lunch. And Donald Trump arrived on the scene, and everyone clustered around him because he's the king. It's his place. And he runs a great place, by the way, so... I don't know how he looked over at me and he almost like benighted me with like a wand, a mental wand. He said, Michael Savage, you've got common sense. You go beyond politics, he said. You've got common sense. You could literally feel the crowd go, ooh, you know what I'm saying? And all the billionaires started to cluster around me. They wanted to walk with me into the dining room after that. It was safe to be with Michael Savage because I had common sense. I was no longer politically, I was no longer a political outcast. So why don't you try my common sense? If you've got to talk about the news, go ahead. I've thrown out 100 news stories. You don't seem to care about Wisconsin and that Obama sent out the buses and the rent-a-children, like some dude, that's the governor, who is simply asking the teachers and other employees to pay 5.8% of their salary toward their own pension, which is about the private sector national average, and about 12% of the health care benefits should be paid by them, which is about half the private sector national average. And, of course, the union goons are saying that he's a Nazi and Hitler because he wants to balance the budget. But there are other topics out there. 1-800-449-8255. Throw in a news story here. I want to show you what happens when you have a Marxist president who's weak and cares only about advancing internationally his agenda. Obama the meddler. Baghdad wants U.S. to pay $1 billion for damage to city. You hear this? Baghdad, Iraq, wants U.S. to pay $1 billion because we damaged their city. Now, what's interesting is I say that's a good idea. I agree with them. I'd say that's a very reasonable request from Maliki and the other Iraqis. And I would say, yes, we'll pay you the $1 billion for sure. But let's deduct that billion first from the $1 trillion that you owe us for liberating you from a dictator that you despised. And then at the end of that $1 trillion, after you take off the billion, how much do you still owe us? And you could pay us an installment starting with oil, you bums, you. This is what happens when you have a weak president. We should have taken the money out of Iraq in oil. We should have taken out of them in oil from day one. Imagine, of course, when you have a weak Islamist for president, this is what you're going to get. They want reparations now for liberating them. Why not? Why shouldn't they ask? If they have a Obama in the White House and Hillary Clinton in the State Department, why not ask? They can only say no. They know the old racket. Ask for $1 billion. You might get $100 million that you can send to Switzerland. Now we'll go back to irregular programming on the Savage Nation. Any other? Get me straight. I don't know. So jaded from this old deal here that I'm ready to take the cloth and join a monastery. You know, I was thinking about this last night. I'm trying to think about charities that are worthwhile to give to and all. It's very hard to even find a charity anymore to give to. You start looking into everything. It's like you don't know where to turn anymore. The salaries of people who run them are so high, you don't know if the money's going in their pocket or to actually do the good work. Then you say, all right, I'll give some money to an orphanage. There are no orphanages. You know why there are no orphanages in America to speak of? Because the state has become the orphanage. There is so much money in child care for the state. And, of course, where would the Department of Children's Services have their victims if the state didn't have the control over them? So, as I say, you can't even find an orphanage. This is how I started my thinking last night, that the world isn't the world I grew up in. When I grew up, there were orphanages. There were nunneries. In other words, the Salvation Army guy in the street with the bell was an ex-alcoholic who you could trust if you threw the money in the jug, that it wasn't going to go, into a bottle of booze or to go to Thailand for a sex trip. You don't know anymore. You don't even know if you throw the buck. I throw money in Salvation Army. I still do. I don't know those guys. But by and large, you don't know which way to turn. Nothing is what it appears to be anymore. We're running on the fumes of the 50s in America. But you can't trust anything in that regard. You don't know what to do. So you say, all right, so why give any of it away? You have a little extra money, spend it on yourself. I don't want to spend it on myself, the extra money. Whatever I have left after taxes. I don't need very much. I have luxury items. I don't even use them. Do you know that? It's a weird thing. I hardly use anything that I own. That's why I don't want any more of them. So the question is, what am I working for? For the betterment of mankind or my own ego? Well, as the Bible says, all is vanity. I agree with that. It must be vanity that drives me. What makes me get up in the morning and do my show? Vanity. It's only vanity, right? I don't know. Do I care anymore about America? Yes. I'll tell you why I know I care. I got so angry yesterday reading about Obama and what he's doing to this country and what he did to the Middle East and how he gets away with it. I started to fume last night. I could hardly calm down. And I was starting to think there's only one thing left in my whole life that I want. I don't think I'm going to do it, though. It's not that I'm too old. There's only one thing that I thought's worth doing, and that's creating the Nationalist Party. I toyed with it a few years ago. Then I got sidetracked by the socialist communists in England. They threw me off for 2 years. I've been tied up spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and a lot of my mental energy on it. I'm involved in other legal problems. But other than that, I may have formed a party by now. You say, well, what's the point of forming a third party? You're only going to suck votes away from the Republicans. Good! Good! Suck votes away from the Republicans. That's what the Tea Party's wanted to do. But there's no Tea Party party. That's the problem. And I feel that with my audience and the readership I built up over these 16 years now, I could control 16%, 10 to 15% of the vote in terms of a party. We could suck 15% of the vote out of the population, maybe more, because many people are independents. The largest majority of Americans are not even party affiliated. And I believe my message is so strong, and it's very simple, borders, language, culture. That's it. Borders, language, culture is my message, and I think it resonates with the American people. So I said, well, why don't I create the Nationalist Party? It's the only thing that's burning in me to do to save this country from the two-party system, which is fundamentally a system set up to advance the interests of the parties. Of course, within both parties, there are decent men and women. But by and large, the parties exist for their own advancement, not for the advancement of America, which is why we have been out-traded and why we have so many problems today. So I said, if we created the Nationalist Party, and I was the brains behind it, well, then what, I have to become a community organizer? I'm going to run around with a staple gun and start from ground zero? I said, I don't want to run for office. You got to understand something. There's a difference between being the architect of a party, okay, and running for office. I don't want to be a congressman. I don't want to be a senator. Let me make that very clear right now. Never. I don't want to be a politician. But on the other hand, I still think creating the Nationalist Party is a good idea. And I could probably do it. I could raise a ton of money. Within 6 months, I could probably raise probably $100 million by what I see going on in this country. I could put together a team. I could organize it. I could create a very viable party, a third party, I'm saying to myself. And the only answer, by the way, is to get control of the political system. Look at what Obama the Destroyer has done in only 2 years. Look what he's done to this country.
Savage.
I have talked about Mr. Obama's proposal for a so-called high-speed rail system. The latest numbers say he's looking to spend an additional $53 billion on top of the $10 billion previously proposed for this train to nowhere. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is former Congressman Ernest Istook with a look into this venture. Congressman Istook, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today. I like to say that after spending 14 years in Congress, I'm now in recovery, so I hope that experience can help you out.
Tell us about this train to nowhere.
I formerly chaired the Transportation Subcommittee of Appropriations in the U.S. House, so I delved into high-speed rail and the other issues relating to rail and transportation of all modes and fashions. And high-speed rail, unfortunately, is one of the biggest boondoggles that we've got out there. Obama already got $10 billion budgeted for it last year, which, by the way, the U.S. House is trying to pull back some of that money. Now he wants another $53 billion more. And if you read his whole plan, you'll find that's only for starters. What he actually wants is hundreds of billions of dollars, perhaps in excess of $1 trillion, to establish so-called high-speed rail systems. But not only are they huge money losers that are not that popular with the people who want to actually travel, they're actually not even high-speed rail.
Why do you say that?
What he calls high-speed rail would average about 85 miles an hour. It's not the bullet trains that we think of, you know, speeding through the countryside at 150 or 200 miles an hour or more. The reality is, although they might occasionally hit a peak speed of around 100 miles an hour, the trains that he wants to fund right now would average about 85 miles an hour. So, you know, there's all sorts of misleading numbers being thrown out by President Obama. And fortunately, people like you are calling him on that.
How are these rail systems going to be cost effective? Will they ever pay for themselves?
All over the globe, the high-speed rail systems have two things in common. One, they're in corridors that have a high, dense population. Two, even then, they lose money. They require major subsidies from their government. I think there are two lines in the entire globe, only two city points that actually make a profit in high-speed rail. The others are major money losers. I think it's fascinating that the Washington Post, of all places, has surprised people by coming out against Obama's high-speed rail plan. When a liberal publication like the Washington Post can see the flaws and the financial sleight of hand that's being used by Obama to try to sell high-speed rail, then everybody ought to be able to realize the huge flaws that it has.
Why do they keep pushing trains?
Well, there's a lot of fiction that goes on, and frankly, it comes from people who hate automobiles. They've got the the notion in their heads that automobiles are bad rather than offering the level of freedom that Americans want. This fiction that supposedly it's more energy efficient to use trains has been exploded by an exhaustive study that the U.S. Department of Energy commissioned. It was done by the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and I'm going to read you directly from that report from Oak Ridge National Labs. It says, quote, intercity auto trips tend to be relatively efficient highway trips with higher than average vehicle occupancy rates. On average, they are as energy efficient as rail intercity trips. Additionally, if passenger rail completes for modal share by moving to high-speed service, its energy efficiency should be reduced somewhat, making overall energy savings even more problematic. Now, that's the way they said it in, technical, that's not really that technical, but that's the way they put it. They're saying that it is a fabrication, a fiction, to say that it's more fuel efficient to take a train than a car when you're going between cities. People who claim that cars pollute more are looking at the stop-and-go driving done inside of a city, not at the travel out on the highway, which is far more efficient for a fuel economy. You get better mileage that way, and it's comparable with the claimed mileage of trains. But when trains get faster, their energy efficiency drops down, and cars are going to be more energy efficient than trains for so-called high-speed trips.
Well, sure, okay.
So the lack of energy or pollution savings leaves us with the key problem of high-speed rail, namely a huge expense with very little benefit. But some people, they are just wanting to get us out of our cars. They want us to be packed together in cities and not have the freedom of movement that we as Americans are accustomed to. If you look at the figures that are put together, this comes from the U.S. Department of Transportation, so I'm not quoting some other group. If you look at how many people choose to travel by air rather than by rail, and the answer is, airlines handle almost 100 times as many passenger miles as Amtrak. How many people prefer to go by road? People traveling by road have almost 800 times the passenger miles of what Amtrak provides. I'd say people have voted with their feet in favor of cars, except they voted with their wheels in favor of cars. An 800-to-1 advantage? Why? Because a car will take you from your starting point to your ending point. If you're going to go by rail, you've got to get from wherever you start to the rail station, get to your destination city, and then get from that rail station to wherever you really want to go. There's all this logistics issue that comes in that interferes with the freedom that Americans want. You have flexibility when you use a car that you don't have from any other way of travel.
This certainly looks like just another boondoggle for Obama's investors.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at high-speed rail like anything else, follow the money. Look at the people who actually build systems like this and the huge amounts of money they may make from it. One of those is the leading manufacturer of locomotives in the U.S., which is General Electric, whose CEO, Jeff Immelt, is buddy-buddy with President Obama on so many other issues. So there's a little bit of mutual benefit that's going on between them. The other people that are touting high-speed rail are those that, you know, build tracks, those that provide the cars, those that provide the people. And if just imagine the amount of feather bedding, the amount of subsidies that are necessary every year for Amtrak, and multiply that by several times to reach the problems that would be generated by this high-speed rail proposal. I am so proud of the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, and the governors of Wisconsin and Ohio that have said thanks but no thanks to the billions of dollars that have been dangled in front of them by the Obama administration to put together supposed high-speed rail systems in their states. They saw past the cover story that was being painted. They saw what the facts were. They saw what the costs were. They saw that the cost would explode, that annual subsidies would be necessary, that the benefits are vastly overstated. And these three governors have said no to high-speed rail, and I'd like to see some more governors join them as well.
Where do you think it goes from here?
Well, one thing about President Obama, you've got to give him credit for being very persistent. Even if he's trying to go in the wrong way, he's persistently trying to go in the wrong way. And you've got states like California that are just a sinkhole for money. They would love to suck it up with their so-called high-speed rail plans, which are just more boondoggles waiting to happen. So he's going to throw the money at the states where his political backers are. So you can think of California, you can think of Illinois, you can think of other states that are going to be trying to line up for what they call as free federal money, and those tend to be the states that are already having huge economic problems with their state budgets. They're already spending more than they can afford, and now this boondoggle is going to invite them to spend even more.
What can we the people do?
Well, the first thing you've got to do is reject the fictions. When you hear somebody giving the fictions about high-speed rail, know the facts. I've written about it. Lots of other people have written about it. I mean, it helps to be able to quote the Washington Post as saying that this is a terrible idea. But I've got things that I've written for the Heritage Foundation. It's on other places on the web, such as Big Government and others. So there's articles I've written and plenty of other written. So inform yourself. That's always the first thing, because if you're going to get into an argument, you don't want to be the dumb guy in the argument. So after you inform yourself about it, speak out to the people that are in positions to make the decisions, the governors, the legislators, the people in Congress. Right now, those who have a financial benefit from high-speed rail are the loudest voices. Why? Because there's money in it for them. Big, big billions of dollars worth of money for them. The people who oppose it don't have as much at stake in the game, because it may be billions of dollars for General Electric, but it's only going to be a few thousand dollars for your taxes or my taxes. So the people who are actually going to be asked to pay for the boondoggle need to be speaking up just as loudly as the people who stand to benefit financially from it.
Where can we read more?
I've got articles at the Heritage Foundation website, which is heritage.org. And that's the first place that I would start. Obviously, I'm with the Heritage Foundation, so I want to point people in that direction. But if you Google my name, Iztook and High Speed Rail, you'll find articles that I've written about it. And that's a good place to start.
Congressman Iztook, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be with you, and I hope we can do this again.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Washington, D.C., Magda, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. First, I wanted to thank you for speaking for our people. I'm from Kosovo. And I really wanted to thank you. I can't believe it.
I'm sorry. You're from where, Magda?
Kosovo.
Oh.
Kosovo.
Oh boy, have you suffered under Bill Clinton?
Oh gosh, yes. And then
How many hundreds of Christian monasteries and churches have been burned to the ground by the Albanian Muslims? Hundreds and hundreds. Not one of them ever appeared in a news report. Go on, please.
I wanted to make the point that I think it doesn't matter how much screening you're going to have. I think this jihadist will infect themselves before actually boarding into the plane.
You mean they're going to infect themselves with a biological agent?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter what screening you got.
God.
Are they going to give us a physical exam before?
Oh, my God. You mean they don't even have to get it in a can?
Exactly.
You could have somebody infected with bubonic plague getting on a plane, you mean?
Right, or a deadly virus that is airborne. And
My God.
That's, their strategy. That's what they're trying to do, and it doesn't really take, a person with I think it just takes a person with two neurons to figure that out.
Good God. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't even think of that. That's because you and I both know that these fanatics are not thinking of the next diaper bomber. They're already on to the next schemata, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And the next scheme is said to be biological agents. And I thought that they'd have to bring it on in a sort of an aerosolized can to aerosolize the biological agent. You're saying they themselves are the carrier.
To carry it, kill themselves, why not infect themselves right before boarding?
Oh,
before
God.
Going to the terminal. So I'm saying, what's next, a physical exam? So I think, well, do profiling.
So what's the solution then, Magda? What is the solution?
Profiling, the racial, but that's because I know them personally. But, you know, and then I have a comment about Afghanistan. You always ask why we are in Afghanistan and Iraq and so on. I have a theory, maybe a question. I think that we need to create theaters for these people, war theaters. When we started pulling out of Iraq, we saw a lot more activity coming up. I don't think that it was because he's sending 30,000 more troops. Because, you know, we had Sazi, we had the synagogue in New York that they tried to, you know, bomb with a missile. We had the South Carolina cell, we had the Ohio cell, the Detroit, the Dallas. All of this in the last 10 months, the activity has picked up over 200%. That means there's more money pouring in for here, whereas before they will go to, you know, with Alan Saar in Iraq or, you know, in Afghanistan.
So, Magda, are you in the intelligence community yourself?
Somewhat.
Yeah, I can hear it. I hope to God you're working for the U.S. government because you sound like one smart person.
Well, no, I think that is a lot, you know, what's going on. And also why they're not, you know, it doesn't mean that we didn't have any plots before, but it just means that we stopped them at a much earlier stage. We had Sazi with the WMD from Colorado. We had so many homegrown cells here, but we were able to stop them before. Now our defense...
Now, wait. You mean under George Bush, because there was a more vigorous approach to the terrorist cells. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying in the last 10 months alone, we had so many big...
Oh, you mean that were stopped?
Mm-hmm.
So why all of a sudden is the frequency increasing?
I think because, first of all, we took many theaters out, and so more money is pouring in from Al-Qaeda, from Saudi to, you know, for these people to do activities elsewhere. Whereas before, they will try, you know, give money to... Alan Saar, which was the, you know, resistance in Iraq.
You're saying because they're not fighting as much in Iraq, they have the money to spend here?
Exactly. And in Afghanistan. With these people, you need to create war theaters. Otherwise, they will come here. And this is what is happening. And also that the whole intel community has been, you know, with Napolitano and everybody, we have been, it's just very demoralized.
So do you believe Napolitano is fit for this job?
Oh, no, please. No, you are so right. No.
Why was she picked for this job of all the people that could have been picked? I don't care whether they're left wing, but you need somebody with security training, intelligence. Why her? Where did she come from?
It's just political. What is happening in many agencies right now is that you have all these political appointees. And you have all these career professionals who are trying to do their jobs, but they are fearing the political appointees from mainly this administration and the late Bush administration that they're going to stab them in the back. So they can't do
that. So in other words, they're still playing politics. They're putting in these left-wing Obama appointees who stab the actual intelligence agents in the back who are doing their job.
Exactly. So they.
Oh, boy.
And they handcuff them. You know, you need a court order to do anything to... You know.
Yes. Well, I would like to make you the chief of security of the Savage Nation. You're the best caller I've had on this subject ever.
Yes, you are my favorite, my idol. You, out of anyone in the entire West, you know, and I think in the entire world, you have spoken.
Well, come on, let's just say I'm your favorite talk show. So that'll work for me.
You are well known. You are well known within our people. You spoke so well and such truth that...
You know, I carry around, I'm not into like good luck charms, but I carry one around. It is a Christian coin that the Serbians give out, the priests give out. You know the one I mean? They're round and there's a cross on it?
Yes, yes.
It was given to me by a Serbian priest after Bill Clinton mercilessly bombed Serbia for 78 straight days with U.S. bombers that were repainted with NATO markings in order to please his friends in Europe, his European socialist friends, notably Javier Solana of Spain. I remember that incident like I'm standing here today. They destroyed your country mercilessly in order to steal Kosovo from the Serbs.
Thank you. Thank you, God, for somebody like you.
They burnt over 300 churches to the ground. Not one of those churches was ever shown by the Associated Press. Never. Never. And it was all done to steal Kosovo from Serbia, which have been part of Serbia since the 1100s. One of the greatest geographic thefts in the history of the world has gone on, and nobody knows about it.
No, nobody knows. And you're the only one that has been saying it. And I just thank you. And as a Serbian, I will thank you forever.
Now, I'd like to know more about you, so here's what I like to say, Magda. Stay on the line. I'm going to send you a free copy of, to initiate an email correspondence with you, if you don't mind. You can use even a fake address. It doesn't matter to me.
Savage.